I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Put your hands together for the Lord as we welcome Sister Caroline to give us a powerful testimony. Amen. Wow. Oh, clap for her as she come. Encourage her. Encourage her. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Carolyn Faitlow. I'm from Belize, City Belize. This testimony that I'm going to share is about my healing. It's very emotional because just to be standing here is a miracle. I had suffered 4 strokes and congested heart failure. I had 2-mild heart attack. Had 4 major surgery, couldn't walk, couldn't talk, couldn't even write my name. God blessed me with 4 children, and I didn't even know who my children are. No, nobody, couldn't remember anything, because when you have a stroke, it affects the brain. So it took me 10 years for my recovery. I'm still in recovery. So just to be standing here, and he didn't just also restore. I don't even have the words to express how I am standing here. All I know that it's a supernatural manifestation of his healing. Jesus, he did it. Because there's so many people who had stroke. My face was twisted on one side. I'm total restore. Not just heal, restore. He's a God of restoration. Because for my face to be twisted and was twisted on one side, couldn't even write, couldn't talk, couldn't write my name. And to be standing here, I am so grateful. To be standing here, I can walk, I can talk, I can look at everybody. And I'm glad. And for my daughter, Afia, because she's the one that took care of me. She was at a very young age, she has been my caregiver. And when I had her, she was only 5. I was 5 months pregnant. She weighed 1 pound. I couldn't understand why this child was born and why she's alive. But this is the very child that took care of me for me to be standing here. And she never complained. I complain. I fuss. But she never complained. She encouraged me and let me know, Mom, you know, just talk to me when I go through some rough times. Because can you imagine what I went through? The doctor said there was nothing more they can do for me. That's how Jesus manifests himself in my way. Such a life. Healing. That nobody can talk me out of my healing. It's too late for the devil, family, friends, and everybody. No one. I know for myself that Jesus still, he's a healer. He still heals today. He still delivers, set free. Amen. And so for me to stand here, I want to encourage them to be here with all these young people. Wow. That's really a blessing because I love to worship. So that's my lifestyle. So when I come here, when I see all these young people on fire for Jesus, that means a lot to me because I have young children, you know. And when I see everybody, you know, when I see y'all worshiping, they're dancing, it just gets me so, oh, my God, you know. So I'm in it with you guys. So I just wanted to let you guys know that to be encouraged. And if you have mother, father, any family member that you know who had a stroke, that there is hope.
Amen.
If you keep on, just keep your eyes on Jesus and don't let go and keep on believing and trust him. Because when doctors said there was nothing more they can do for me, that's when I had to take my eyes off all the doctors and kept my eyes on Jesus. Because that's where, and I thank God for all the people who prayed for me. Because my faith was not strong enough. Just in June, when the young couple got married, I wasn't here. I wanted to be here when they got married. I was in the hospital because the devil tried to attack me with another stroke. But this time when he showed up, I was able to let that devil, look that devil in the face and let him know, not this time. I know who I am, because see, when he comes to try to attack you before you know who you are, it's too late. Now I live 100% for Jesus.
Amen.
All for Jesus. Amen. And it's him and him alone that all the glory. I take no credit for nothing to be standing here. Now I live to serve him and him alone. And I'm ready to go. Like the apostle said, just go and he will be with me always.
Amen.
So that's it. So thank you.
Oh, amen. Put your hands together for such a powerful testimony. Amen. If he did it for her, he will also do it for you. Amen. And restore you. It is powerful. Amen. Powerful. We have another testimony. Amen. Sister Diana. Amen. Before Sister Diana comes, Sister DJ has a testimony as well. Amen. Oh, put your hands together. Sister Diana is here. Amen. Sister Diana, come on up. Oh, put your hands together and encourage her. Amen. Encourage her. Encourage her. Amen. Wow.
Good morning. My name is Diana, and I want to give this testimony to the glory of God.
Amen.
My testimony is about debt cancellation,
wow.
100%.
Amen.
Okay, so I was born with a heart defect. So when I was 13 years old, I had a bypass heart surgery. So every 5 years, I'm supposed to go to the hospital to do a medical checkup. I've been doing that I did that for just 2 times, and I just say God will take care of me. So earlier this year, during the fasting, I started having chest pain. And I was like, this can be bad. So I went to the emergency room, and the doctor saw me, and everything came out well. But after 2 months, I got a bill of $802. And I was like, I don't know, I work in the hospital, so why should I be billed? So I went to the ER doctor, and I was like, I work here, and I came here to use the emergency service, but now they are charging me. So he was like, oh, I don't know, let's look at this. So he reduced the bill to $120. And I was like, that was good. And I was like, but God, you said if I pay my tithe. And I was like, if I pay my tithe, you rebuke the devourer. This bill is a devourer. So... So I called the insurance company, and they were like, I haven't met my deductibles for the year, so I still have to make the payment. So I was like, God, I don't know, man. If I have to pay this bill, then I will not pay my tithe for a long time. So right now, I actually do a research with like one cardiologist, and I went to his office and I spoke to the secretary, and she goes, don't worry, I'll take care of it for you.
Wow.
So I gave her all my bills, and after 2 months, they called me and said, don't worry, the bill has been canceled completely. So, so I want to thank God for that. Amen.
Oh, amen. Oh, put your hands together for a powerful testimony. The Lord will also cancel your debts. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, put your hands together as we welcome Sister DJ to give a powerful testimony.
Hello, my name is Dejanae Mosley. I'm in the choir. And last Acabaptifest made a year since I ever met, you know, Elpac, Ine, Apostle Joel, and all these people, Pastor Charles. And it's been a great year. There's so many things I could say, but I'm just going to tell you these two great things. So recently I went to Alabama, right? And I visited family there. And on the way there, we took the bus. We took the bus from California to Alabama. Can you believe that? And one of the places we stopped, I don't even remember the state right now, but we stopped to eat some food, you know, at Subway. And we walked in, we ordered our food, and then this guy comes to the cashier, and he's like, oh, can I ask you a question? And I just zoned out, like I was looking at the food. And then I didn't hear what they said, but all I know is that when my mom went up to go pay, she was like, oh, he already paid for you. And I was like, and then he just walked out. He just came in, paid for our food, walked out. Like, I don't know. I just felt like I encountered an angel or something. Seriously, like, we didn't really come to the trip with that much money because of some mistake I did. So, you know, we weren't going to have much money, but we were hungry. So we decided to just spend a little. And this guy just came in, bought our food, and walked out. And I really got to thank him. Like, I was like, thank you, sir. And he's already out the door. I was so shocked, and I was just, I couldn't believe it. I was like, this is God thing. This is angel. This is God taking care of me. I'm telling you, the whole year it's been like this. It's not just a one-time thing. Like this, I can't even tell you, I can't tell at all. It's the whole year. Every time I need something, God just provides. I need gas, God provides. I need food, God provides. I'm not even kidding, not exaggerating. But yeah, and then the other thing is, when I went, when we stayed with my aunt, she was so blessed by us being there, like more than I ever expected. I don't know exactly what I did. I mean, just small things, you know, I was playing the messages. I was, you know, talking to her about our church and telling her how excited I am about all these things. And, you know, one of the times this lady, we stopped to help her, you know, what do you call that when you help their car start again? Jump start, yeah. We were helping her jumpstart her thing, and I was like, hey, are you a believer in Yeshua? Like, asking her, you know, I just basically started witnessing to her. And apparently, all these things were really encouraging my aunt. I didn't even know, but my aunt, she used to be on fire for God, you know, at a time in her life. But at this season, you know, I guess she just, I don't know what happened, but she was in a different place. And then she told me, well, she didn't tell me. I heard her telling one of the pastors from the Alabama branch. Actually, he came to her house to visit me. Anyway, so when he was there, she was telling him about me. And she was saying all these wonderful things. And I didn't even know. I didn't even know I had such an effect on her like that. And I just felt so blessed to be in this church. Like, just small things like that, you know. And it encouraged her. And she said that I'm, like, encouraging her. I'm firing her up. Now she's so into it. She's listening to podcast messages. She's calling me like, hey, I heard this message. She's listening to the camp. And by the way, if you guys haven't started listening to camp, like, wow. First of all, shame on you. Two, you should start. Like, make a decision to start listening today. Like, it is such a blessing. This is a really good camp. I think you'll be changed. This is a great prophet. And I love that verse that we had today, Jeremiah 3:15. It is so true. We are so blessed, guys. You don't even know. Like, you don't even know what we got. So, really, let's just keep going. Let's keep going. Amen.
I've been a Christian for so many years, serving the Lord and working in the church. But now I have a greater passion to love my God. God made the sun, the moon, and the stars. God is so great, yet he seems so far. When I talk to him, it seems that he doesn't even hear. How can I love God who I cannot see? But this is my dream, the goal of my life. So take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. All my days I give to thee. To love you, Lord, is the great command. Lord, I want to love you more, fall in love with you so deeply. God, show me how to love you more. I don't want to serve commandments. Lord, I have meditated on your word so I can love you more. Lord, please help me to keep your commandments. What have you told me that I'm not doing? Where have you sent me that I am not going? Am I holding back? I want to sacrifice all for you. Loving you with all of my heart. So take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. All my days I give to thee. To love you, Lord, is the great command. Lord, I want to love you more, fall in love with you so deeply. God, show me how to love you more. I don't want to serve without loving you. Oh, 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 oh. Oh God, thank you for loving me first, and also for choosing me first. I want to love you back as hard as I can, because you love me so. I want to be just like Jesus, he who loved the Father so. I know that I have not seen and ears have not heard the things that God has prepared for those who love him. That is why I want to love you more. So take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. All my days I give to thee. To love you, Lord, is the great command. Lord, I want to love you more, fall in love with you so deeply. God, show me how to love you more. I don't want to serve without loving you. Consecrated, Lord, to thee. All my days I give to thee. To love you, Lord, is the great command. Lord, I want to love you more, fall in love with you so deeply. God, show me
Oh, amen. It's time for my favorite part of the service. Amen. Somebody put your hands together and rise to your feet as we welcome our Father, Bishop Joel.
Thank you. Amen. All right. Jamaica, they say Wagwan. Right, amen. Amen. Right, let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for today. Thank you. Sunday after Sunday, you teach, you instruct us. And today we pray that you will open the eyes of our understanding, in particular, Lord, that we may know, O God, the things you have bestowed upon us in Christ Jesus. Thank you for your blessing in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen.
Amen.
Ooh. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Wow. Okay. Amen. Amen. Now, today I want to share with you for a short time. Yeah. Amen. Now, I want to share with you today about the understanding campaign.
Amen.
All right. The understanding campaign. Amen. Now, our church is on a campaign for our members to understand.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We are launching our understanding campaign seriously. Amen. Amen. And I'm going to share with you today why the understanding campaign is important. Amen. Amen. Is that a blessing?
It's a blessing.
All right. So let me share with you, first of all, from Jeremiah chapter number 3. Jeremiah chapter number 3, and the verse is 15. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 15. Okay. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 15. When you find it, say amen.
Amen.
Oh, wow. So it means you found it. Okay. All right. Now, Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible says, I will give you pastors, right? I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Amen.
Amen.
Knowledge and understanding implies that knowledge is different from understanding.
Wow.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
You say black and white means white. It's not black.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Right? So the pastors are supposed to feed us with what? Knowledge and understanding. Amen. Now, just because you know something doesn't mean you understand it. Do you understand? It is actually the reason why some things don't make sense. Anything that doesn't make sense to you is knowledge that didn't come with understanding. Do you get it?
Yeah.
Yeah, anything that doesn't make sense, whether it's someone's story or a situation you have, or some puzzling circumstance before you, you know, all that it is that you were exposed to something, you know something, you're seeing something, but you're not comprehending it. Do you see what I'm saying? So when knowledge comes without understanding, then things don't make sense. Amen. So a pastor's job is to feed you not only with knowledge, but also with understanding. Hallelujah. God wants his people fed with knowledge. That means God wants you to have information. God wants you to know stuff. Amen. You must know stuff. You must hear stuff. You must see stuff. You must be exposed to things. God wants you to have that. That brings knowledge. Amen. But understanding is a totally different thing, which is that you must understand the things you know. Amen. God wants us to understand the things we know. Now, when people begin to understand what they know, then that understanding starts to propel their behavior. Do you see? It starts to affect their behavior. And then actually the purpose of the knowledge is realized in the understanding that comes after the knowledge. Do you see what I'm saying? So for example, if you know, if you understand what a snake bite can do to you, do you understand? Then it's helpful for you when you know this is a snake. Does it make sense? Yes. But if you know this is a snake, but you don't understand what snakes do or what a snake bite can do to you, then the knowledge of something being a snake is not even helpful to you. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. It's, you can see it's a snake, so what? You understand? Yeah. So that is the reason why sometimes even a lot of preaching or people don't seem to change in spite of having been to church a long time or having heard a lot of good preaching, you know. Or even you find people living lives in ways or doing things that you would have thought someone of their caliber or someone like them shouldn't do something like that. You see, because of what you think they know or should know. But the truth is that when people know something, it does not automatically translate into understanding what they know. Hallelujah. But anybody who understands anything they know usually is driven by the understanding to take steps that reflect what they understand. Do you understand? Yeah, they take steps that reflect what they understand. And that is where their knowledge actually finds fruitfulness. Otherwise, it is really useless to know the things we know. Can I have an amen? Amen. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. Yeah. When people know about germs and they know about bacteria, but if they don't understand what it means, you know, they will know everything they know about germs, but still, you see the way they live, that they don't really understand. They don't really understand. But when people understand something, they know, and they understand as well, then suddenly everything is different. You see, they start to wash their hands, they start to, you know, clean up, they start to do so many things because a certain understanding has come. So anytime you're struggling with someone to do anything, check the understanding. Yeah, yeah. When you're struggling with anyone, it means, especially when you've told that person, you say, I've told you to do this, and the person keeps not doing it. What is missing is the understanding. Do you get it? Not the knowledge. They know. Actually, they start running away when they see you coming because they know. Do you get it? But then if they knew it, why didn't they do it? Because they don't understand. Hallelujah. Does it make sense? Right. So that is why God says, I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. So tell somebody, your days of life without understanding are over from today. Yeah. Tell the person, your days of knowledge without understanding are over. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, why is it important for people to understand? Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Today is an easy sermon, I tell you. Simple sermon. You know, I'm almost done already. Okay. So, Matthew chapter 13. Have you found Matthew chapter 13? Wow, let me find it. Matthew chapter 13. And let's read from verse 3. It says, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. Verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some a hundredfold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. Amen. And the disciples came and said to him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. Wow. May God give to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Right. Now, verse 12, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Amen. And in them is the prophecy of Isaiah's, is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. Right. So you can see a lot of complex things are going on here, isn't it? Yeah, a lot of complex things are going on. That is, beyond hearing something and seeing something, it looks like there is a whole lot that goes on beyond that in order for people to benefit from what they saw or benefit from what they heard. So there are people who see, but they do not perceive, you know. So seeing must be backed by perception in order for what you saw to benefit you. You get it? Otherwise, you'll be looking at the same thing, but it won't mean anything to you and it will not help you. I pray that God will open the eyes of your understanding, that God will help you to see and to perceive and to hear and to hear. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He says, look at the last verse we just read, verse 15. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted. So the reason why people don't change is because they do not understand. Hallelujah. Because if they understood with their heart, then it would lead to a conversion. Conversion means you change. Do you understand? Yeah, the same thing exists, but the form has changed. The common use of the word convert is currency. You see, so you have dollars, and then you convert them to some other currency. Or let's say you have British pounds, and then you convert them to US dollars. You get it? The value is the same. You are looking at the same amount of money, you know, but it used to look this way. Now it looks this way. Do you see? That's conversion. You have the same thing, but the thing has changed. Hallelujah. May you be converted in the name of Jesus. Yeah. You'll still be you, but people will just look at you and say, wow, What happened to you? Yeah, you have gone through the currency exchange. Yeah, and something has happened to you and you are no longer the same. You are the same, but you know, you're not the same. Hallelujah. Can I have an amen? Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? Right. So he's explaining so many things. He said, verse 16, blessed are your eyes for they see and your ears for they hear. So it is a blessing to have eyes that see. Amen. He said, blessed are your eyes for they see and blessed are your ears for they hear. So not all eyes see, not all ears actually hear. Hallelujah. So blessed, may you have blessed eyes. And may you have blessed ears. That when you hear, you hear. Amen. When you hear, you hear. Hallelujah. I tell you, you know, if you understand the scriptures I'm reading, and I pray that you understand it, you will understand it in the name of Jesus. If you understand the scriptures, you will see that you become a bit more humble in life. Do you get it? Because you start to wonder, what am I seeing that I'm not seeing? Do you get it? What am I seeing that I'm not seeing? What am I hearing that I'm not hearing? What is being said that I'm not hearing? And you would see that in life, there's so much around us, so much speaking to us all the time, but we just don't hear. We just don't hear. But if we have blessed eyes, they will see. And if we have blessed ears, they will hear. Those are the eyes you will have in the name of Jesus. Amen. Verse 17, for verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Verse 18, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. So here is, this is the parable of the sower. He said, now listen to the parable of the sower. Wow. He said, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not. Do you get it? First of all, they didn't even think that when Jesus seemed to be talking about a farmer, he was talking about preaching. Can you imagine that? That when the message seemed to be about farms, it was really about church. When the message seemed to be an agricultural message, you see, it was actually about how people behave in church. Do you see? They're miles apart. Do you see? They're miles apart. That is why you must pray for understanding. Amen. That's why you must pray for understanding. And that is why you must join the understanding campaign. Hallelujah. Right. Now he says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. Amen. So Jesus began to explain to the people that the seed he's talking about is the word of God which is being preached. And he says, when people hear the word of God and do not understand it. So get it, that hearing it doesn't mean you understood it. Amen. What you need to push for is understanding what you have heard. Otherwise, there is no point in hearing it. And do not assume that because you heard it, it will change your life. Understanding what you have heard is critical. Hallelujah. He says, when anyone heareth the word of God and understandeth it not, understandeth it not. When he hears the word and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. Hallelujah. So you can see that when people do not understand the word of God, they when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth it. When people don't understand the word of God, it says the enemy comes to take it away from them altogether. Hallelujah. It says the enemy comes to take the things from them and it goes away. What you thought was there is no longer there. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now look at the next one, the next verse. He says, but he that received the word or received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet he not, is that what he says? Yet hath he, okay, but why is my, okay, it's my mistake, I'm sorry. All right, so yet hath he not root in himself, right? So again, you see that it's not deep, isn't it? There is an encounter, but it's not deep. It's really shallow. So he says, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation and persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Hallelujah. Now, by and by he's offended. To be offended just means to be affected adversely by something, right? It means to be affected or negatively impacted by something, right? So what is offending them, you know, is not the word. They are not offended by the word. They are offended. The offended here is describing the effect of the tribulation and persecution that arose because of the word. Do you understand? In other words, things people say, you know, things people say, difficult times they have in their lives, difficulties, difficult circumstances, accusations, you know, mockery, and all different things that have come to them because of the word they heard have the effect over time of impacting them negatively, and then they fall away. So the word is not able to hold them. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have to understand because it's about understanding. Amen. Yeah. So they are not offended. They are not offended by the word. It's not the word that is offending them. What is offending them is tribulation and persecution that came because of the word. You see, and over time, they are offended. They are affected negatively. And you see, people go through things all the time that affect them adversely. Sometimes people go through difficult times, difficult patches, difficult seasons, and they don't come out good. You see a lot of people who backslide. People stop coming to church because maybe things have become tighter, because they're getting a little more tired at work, you know. They're getting a little more stressed at work. They're getting stressed at home. There are people who have tensions at home that keep them out of church. It's like the problems I have, they make me, I wake up in the morning and I don't even feel like coming to the presence of God. My tribulations and my difficulties make me feel like God has abandoned me. You know, I feel depressed. I feel unhappy. I feel like things are not working out for me. I don't feel like mixing up with people. You see, you are becoming offended. Offended means impacted negatively by the things that are happening around you. Can I have an amen? Amen. Are you understanding it? And he says the reason why this thing happens is because they received a word, but the word had no root. It didn't go down deeply. You see, there is no understanding. And the Bible is showing us that understanding is the anchor that keeps any message in place. It is the thing that keeps the message still in you. If you understand it, you have it. If you don't understand it, you don't have it, even though you heard it. Are you getting it? Yeah. So jump to verse 23 and you see another one. He says, but he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. You see, he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. Amen. Now, when I was reading this morning, I was just thinking that, what is determining the different effects of the word is actually not the quality of the seed. You see, he says he received the seed into the good ground. So it's actually a ground thing. It's about the person who received the seed, not about the seed that was given to the person. Hallelujah. Tell somebody now they're talking about you in church. Yeah. Amen. For a long time, people have blamed bad preaching for their behavior. When it was actually bad ground that was the culprit. Amen. He said, when the seed fell into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. He heard the word and he understood what he heard. The effect, he says, which also beareth fruit. Then he says, it bringeth forth some hundredfold. You know, that means some take it all the way. You know, some 60-fold. Some take it halfway, and then some 30-fold, some just take it right there. But everybody takes it somewhere. Hallelujah. Amen. Everybody does something with it. There is no one in this category who is not affected by the word. There is no one in this category who is not changed somewhat by the word. There's no one here who is not doing something they were not doing before just based on what they have heard. Hallelujah. Everybody here is doing something, is taking some action, is taking some decisions, is stepping forward. And you look at it, it says they bring forth fruit. So understanding is connected to fruitfulness. Amen. Understanding is connected to fruitfulness. So one of the reasons why people don't settle in a church, for example, is because of a lack of understanding. It's because they do not have understanding. It's not because they don't know that church is good. They know that church is good, but they don't understand the good that is in church. Amen. They don't understand the good that is in church. The reason why many people fall away is because they do not have understanding. They do not have understanding. That is why they just hear something. Someone, you know, just accuses us, or someone runs some new commentary on something. They start to criticize us or start to say some things about Christianity or about their particular church or something like that. And they just fall away. They just fall away because there is no understanding. We've had many people come through our church who fell away either because they heard something or someone said something to them, you know, and they just fall away because they have no root. There's no root. It's not deep. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
That is the reason why we must go for understanding. Hallelujah. Amen. That is the reason why we must go for understanding. So, to have or to achieve our understanding campaign, we're going to introduce into our church schools.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to introduce. The reason why people go to school is to develop their understanding. Do you understand? Yeah. You see, one of the courses you study in school, even in elementary school, is called comprehension. Do you know comprehension? Do you understand comprehension? Right. Huh? Yeah. Comprehension is the art of getting it. That's comprehension. Do you get it? And so you're taking through a series of exercises to teach you the art of getting it. You see, like the art of reading something and getting it. So they give you a little passage like that, right? Some, in fact, it usually doesn't make sense. You just wonder, what is this story about? You get it? Yeah, it's about some individual and some boy. And you know, and you are giving the middle of the story, actually. You see, they don't tell you the story from the beginning. They just grab it. It's like the teacher just woke up and just took a book and just closed his eyes. He opened it and then he just grabbed something from the middle and he throws it at you. You see, but then if your comprehensive abilities are working properly, you know, no matter where it comes from, you should be able to get it. You see what I'm saying? You should get it. You should get it based on the questions that are being asked. Then they ask you questions about it. So how many boys are in the story? Yeah. Then you start to count. You know, you get 7. Somebody else gets 3. And someone says there are no boys. That's a problem right there. Amen. Look, when things don't make sense to you, start with yourself. Instead of starting with the person who is doing the thing, start with yourself. Maybe you are not getting it. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah, maybe you are not getting it. Mind you, the soil, it says good ground. And good ground. Good ground is what brought forth fruit. Not good seed. Do you get it? So there may be a place for good seed, but that's not this place. This is not the good seed chapter. This chapter is about the ground. So sometimes when we criticize people, we criticize churches, we criticize pastors, and say amazing and fantastic things about pastors, perhaps rather it's the ground. It's not that he's doing something wrong, it's that you don't get what he's doing. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. You go to church, you feel so bored. Maybe it's your heart. You remember that when we read, he said that it's a type of heart which is dull and gross. Do you see? Yeah. Now, anything that is gross means you have added in a whole lot of things that should not really be in it. Do you see what I'm saying? So when you say gross income, you mean everything. Some things that should be removed have not been removed yet. You get it? Yeah. So we don't assess people's real wealth by taking a gross thing because the gross is deceptive. It has a lot of things mixed into it which should not be there. Yeah. So when you come to church with a gross heart, you may have a heart that has a whole lot of things mixed into your heart. You see the thing? And the gross heart is what is being used to receive the word. No wonder the preaching is boring to you. You get it? Yeah. Huh. It's the gross. It's not the net. The net is the real thing. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? Yeah. Yeah. No, this is a very liberating message. Yeah. You must begin to crave understanding. You must go after understanding. And understanding is imparted slowly over a period of time through a system of schooling. Amen. You don't get understanding just because you finished first grade. No. You have to go on to second grade. You see, and as you keep going, you see that your level of comprehension develops with the climb. As you're going up, the comprehension actually gets more difficult. Yes. And when they give you more things to, you know, sometimes they give you a poem, they say you should appreciate the poem. Appreciate the poem. That means, you know, show that you get it. You get what is in this poem, you know? And then you start to read it and you see that these words, I tell you, it's like somebody was drunk and then he just wrote these words. You can't understand why someone writes something like this, And yet some people can get understanding out of it. Hallelujah. Amen. The word of God is going to begin to make sense to you as you start to develop understanding. Amen. So we want to introduce schools in our church. Amen. We want to introduce a system of schooling, you know, where we will now take time to teach like a school. This is also on Sunday, in addition to the sermon. You see the thing. But the difference with between the school and the sermon is that as I'm preaching, you don't get to ask a question. You see what I'm saying? I get away with what you don't understand. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. And because I'm the only one talking, I'll keep talking and keep talking until the service is over. By the time I finish, you would have forgotten your question anyway. Hallelujah. Amen. But you're going to have a school situation where you can ask a question. Amen. Because for you to really understand, you may have to ask a question. Something may have to be explained again to you. Hallelujah. There are many of us Christians who do not have any solid understanding of the things we believe. You see, yeah. You see, notice here that the lack of understanding primarily produces a falling away. You see, he says, when anyone heareth the word, right, word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. You know, this is he which receives seed by the wayside. So the primary effect of the lack of understanding is a loss of what was put there, or even a loss of the person himself. Because the wicked one comes and he comes to catch away what was sown in the person's heart. You know, so the person came to church, they were very happy and they were just thinking, oh wow, I want to serve God, I want to get my life straight, I want to start doing this. Then somebody comes to catch that particular thing that was sown in their heart, that disposition. The heart turned a certain way after it heard the message. Do you see? But the wicked one comes to catch that turn. He just comes to take out that turn, you know. Yeah. And it's a wicked one that does that. It's the wicked one that does that. Someone who doesn't want to see you do well. Someone who doesn't want you to take that turn. Someone who doesn't want you to make that change. Someone who wants the deterioration of your life to continue. That's the one who has come to steal the thing so that that turn never occurs. Sometimes you can see people are trying to make a U-turn. People are trying to change their lives. People, especially around the beginning of the year, lots of people take good decisions to, you know, do something new with their lives. But then cometh the wicked one. He comes and he comes to catch whatever fell into their heart. He catches it and they are not able to make that turn, and soon they give up. Hallelujah. But you will not give up in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So he says, he understandeth it not, and then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Hallelujah. Now look at the second one. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet he hath no root in himself. Okay. Yet he hath, either way, no root. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. No root. So dureth for a while. I'm sure you understand dureth. Yeah, because there's only one word that has that bit in it. So wherever you want to put it, it says dureth. It dureth. Means it survives and lives for a while. Do you get it? Then tribulation. They go visit somebody and say, do you go to a black church? Then that is it. They start to be offended, which means to be impacted negatively by what they just had, the tribulation or persecution. Persecution is problems you have because of what you believe. So, for example, when people start to laugh at you, when people mock you, you tell someone you're going to go to church. It's Saturday. Everybody's partying in the family. And they ask what's happening to you tomorrow. And you say you're going to church. Then suddenly your name changes. They say, Hail Mary. Your friends and your cousins, everybody starts to call you Hail Mary. Yeah. You arrive in the house and everybody's checking out your dressing. Because since you started going to church, you have started to cover up. You know, your standards have changed. They've actually gone up a bit. You see what I'm saying? So you used to be a certain way. You are not like that anymore. And then they start to talk about it. They start to laugh at you. They say, hey, now you dress like a nun. Somebody goes upstairs and they are throwing stuff away. They dig into some clothes. They find mommy's wedding dress. Grandmother's wedding dress. And they bring it to you. They say, this is something that will look nice. They're laughing at you. You know, they're passing the beer around. And they know you are trying to stop this beer thing. And they are passing the beer around. They get to you. They say, oh, sorry. They are just mocking you. You know, and it says, when you are in that kind of environment for a long time, it says, by and by. You see, by and by. The effect is gradual. Over time, you see that the person begins to lose their grip on the change that began. And whatever they said they were going to do, they stopped doing it. Because by and by, they are being affected. You know, by and by. So that's why you need to change your environment. People who make you feel like you are odd, you know, it means you're in the wrong place and you're hanging with the wrong people. Because sometimes it's not that you're odd. They are rather the ones who are odd. But because you're with them, they make your normal look odd. It's like you wake up in the morning and you want to pray, and it's like, hey, is this now a church? Meanwhile, there's another place. Rather, what would be odd is that you didn't pray. If you talk about Bible, she said, the Bible says... Then they say, what, look, you can't be bringing Bible, every day, Bible. Why? Yeah. But there's another place where rather, when you say the Bible says, that's when you get everybody's attention. It's like, that's what really matters in that environment. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? Yeah. So he says they become offended and then they fall away. So when they become offended. And then verse 22 says, what's in verse 22? Verse 22, it says, he also that receives seed among thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Right. So it looks like depth and understanding is the main thing that makes people survive. Amen. If you have a good understanding, you'll survive. Hallelujah. If you have a good understanding, you'll survive. Amen. If you don't have understanding, you will not survive. You will just be tossed to and fro by anything anyone says. Amen. And people say things. People record things. I was on YouTube the other day. I saw some people. They have all sorts of things to say about everything, about miracles, about prophecies, you know, miracles, prophecies. What was the other thing they were talking about? What? Healing, you know. They don't believe all these things. Yes, they don't believe all these things. And not only do they not believe it, they have refused to keep it to themselves. And they want to broadcast their unbelief. Do you understand? I saw another person who had done a whole thing about tithing. Yeah, that's wrong to pay tithe. You know, And I was just wondering, why would you just take so much time to do Bible study on only tithing? You must be a lover of money. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. And we are affected by all these things because we don't really have a solid foundation in what we believe. So that is why we're going to have the schools. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to have the schools. Amen. We're going to have 7 different schools in our church. Amen. School, new believer school, first of all. You see, because when you become a new believer, when you give your life to Christ, the Bible says you are a newborn babe. And then you must be fed the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Do you get it? Now, there are many people who get born again. They don't have a chance at the sincere milk of the word. You get it? They were born again and their first meal is chips. French fries. do you get it? You see? So they're eating, you see, they're eating, but they're not taking well what they're eating. You see? Yeah, they're not taking it well. Over time, they're malnourished. You get it? They were at the table, but they never ate anything. Do you see? Have you been at a table with kids who, like, they're eating, but they haven't eaten? They pick the food, they're playing with it, they're in the food and everything, but they haven't eaten at all. No, they haven't eaten anything. They take a drumstick, the chicken, and then they just lick it, yes, and then try to do different things with it. But you just watch it carefully. You see that drumstick is going to be the only survivor after the experience. You see, when everyone is done eating, that particular thing will still be there and will be in a state no one can eat it, but it's still around. Do you get it? There are some people like that. They're in church, but they are not eating. Because the food that is being served is actually above them. You see, but you should be here. We can't take the baby upstairs because we are about to eat. The baby must come to the table as well. Do you get it? Because there is more at the table than food. There's fellowship. There's interaction. There are other things the baby can benefit from. You see what I'm saying? But what we must do is to be careful that we do not assume that just because the baby was around when we were eating, the baby is full. We must take the time to feed the baby his own food so the baby can understand and, you know, be able to relate with that. You get it? Yes. So we can't leave the baby upstairs and say, look, it's dinner time. So since he can't eat this, he shouldn't come here. No, you have to come here. Because at the dinner table, at the family dinner table, there is more on offer than bones and chicken and those kinds of things. Are you getting what I'm saying? So they must come to church. When someone gets born again, he must come to church. He must be with the believers. He must cultivate the habit of... That's how he knows his family. That's how he knows believers. That's how he learns. He grows. That's how he develops socially. You get it? He's developing. We're eating and he's doing something else, but we are around. So when you see someone, we are eating and he's texting, don't worry. He's still inside the place. But what we're saying is after... We need to take the time to feed him something he can digest so that he can have a chance to grow. Amen. And when he grows, the Bible says he will reach a place where he now can handle what the Bible calls strong meat. Can I have an amen? So we have a new believer school that's for anybody who has not been in the Lord for a long time. Now, I'd say anybody who's been in the Lord, you started going to church seriously anywhere from between the last week all the way up to 6 months, even up to a year, is a good school for you to learn the basics of the faith to understand what is going on. You get it? Maybe you just came to church the next week, everybody's speaking in tongues, and then, you know, you're standing there, you're just confused. You see, you're just confused. Then again, we start to look like we're doing something wrong. When the real problem is that you are a baby. You just came. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, it's not that we're doing something wrong, but it's that, you see. So we need to have a school of what? New Believer School. Amen. Then closely related to that is another school called School of Solid Foundation. School of Solid Foundation. And that has to do with being established, having a solid foundation. Amen. Number three, there's another school called School of Victorious Living. School of Victorious Living. Because after you've come to the Lord, it won't be long before you realize that the old stuff has not left you. Do you get it? That you have to have a daily victory habit. You have to win battle by battle by battle by battle. Isn't it? Yeah. You have to win the battle over some of the things you used to watch. Isn't it? You have to win the battle, because otherwise you'll soon find yourself going back to the same thing. The battle over drinking, you know, the battle, so many different battles, fornication, and so many other things. And how to be victorious, victory after victory, victory after victory. Hallelujah. Yeah, so that's another school, School of Victorious Living. Another school is School of Apologetics. School of Apologetics. And that school is about learning and how to defend what you believe. Do you understand? Like when people ask you, how do you know Christianity is the right religion? How do you know yours is the right one? Yeah, it's a very common question people ask. Yes. And even when you go on evangelism and so on, you see that there are some people who in fact, when some of the nice people you meet on evangelism, they just want fair ground, equal opportunities for all religions. Do you get it? So I'll be nice to you, but I have to be nice also to the other person, and I have to be nice to the other person. And you know, all of you are believing things. You get it? Look, let's just believe a little of this, a little of this, a little of this, and let's just mix it, because they are confused. Do you get it? Yes. And if you yourself are not solid, you see, then you are also confused. Yes. You went on evangelism and you were evangelized. Yeah, you come back more confused. Yeah. And I know that there are a lot of people rolling around in church, but you don't have any deep understanding. You know, you can't really defend. If anybody seriously took you on about why you believe the things you believe, why do you speak in tongues? I mean, why speak a language that doesn't make sense? Who does that? You get it? Yeah. You see that you don't have any solid biblical basis. You see, and remember, when understanding is not there, it only produces a falling away. You see, it says they are offended, and they just leave. Amen. So School of Apologetics is there, right? And then Fruitful Believers is another one, right? Fruitful Believers, how to be a believer who is fruitful. Amen. Because remember, John chapter 16 and verse 15, or John 15, 16. Okay, which the one that talks about fruit. You have not chosen me, right? John 15, 16. Yes. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And what? Ordained you that you should go and do what? Bring forth fruit. And number two, that what? You see, yeah, that your fruit should remain. Hallelujah. Then he says that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. So how can you be a fruitful believer? You know, you must bear fruit as a believer. And how can you bear fruit as a believer? You will learn that in that school. Amen. Then we have another school called the School of Loyalty. Amen. Yeah, how to be loyal. You learn about loyalty, how to be a loyal Christian, a loyal person, how to be loyal to God, loyal to the faith, loyal even to your church. Look at it. It says, bring forth fruit, number two, that your fruit should remain. That's loyalty. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like tell somebody, go get married, and that your wife should remain. What will it take? What will it take for your wife to remain? Do you think what it would take is perfection in him? She needs to have something else. You see what I'm saying? She needs to have her own something else. Because if she's counting on him being perfect to stay, We got a problem here. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's a good idea before you marry someone. Do you have any certificates from any of those schools? Yeah. You have to learn the principles of loyalty, which have nothing to do with him. You just have to know the art of staying, which has nothing to do with him. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. You learn the art of being faithful, the art of keeping your word, the art of being faithful, being steady, being consistent, being reliable. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, you have to be reliable. You have to learn the art of remaining constant. You don't change even when I'm changing. What do you think? Yeah. If you're going to marry somebody, you want the person to not change even if you change. Yeah. Hey. Now, I sit on the chair. I used to be standing. I've changed. I'm sitting. Then the chair also changes. You get it? Anybody who sat on a chair that broke, you sat on something that changed when you changed. Wow. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. And none of us can guarantee that we'll always be doing the right thing. Can you guarantee that you will always speak only the right words? Are you sure? Can you promise Maureen that you never say anything amiss? You never say anything that you shouldn't say. You can't make such a promise. Wow. But you want her to follow you forever. Definitely. Yeah. He wants her to follow him forever, but he can't make any promise that he will never say something she doesn't like. So then she also shouldn't follow him without shock absorbers. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, she shouldn't be followed. You have to bring your own thing along. You have to have your own something. I don't know what to call it, but I think you have to bring something along. What do you think? Yes. Because he's not making any promises. You see, same thing with her. So if you don't have shock absorbers, do you have less your shocks? You must have shock absorbers. You must be able to take some surprises. Yeah, you must be able to handle some sharp answers. It's like an arrow, some words just passed. Hey, what was that? It's a shooting star. I hear there's an eclipse tomorrow. Yeah, we have to try and watch it. Amen. Do you see what I'm saying? You have to have some things. You learn those things from the school of loyalty. Amen. How to be loyal, how to be stable, you know, and also how to detect signs of disloyalty in yourself. You get it? Yes. Because many times when people are becoming disloyal, the intent is not there. Do you see? But intent, when it's not there, does not mean that the evil of it will not be experienced. You see, like if you accidentally run over somebody, he will die. You didn't intend to kill him, but he's dead anyway. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's why they take time to train you in how to drive without killing people. They know you're not a killer. If you were, they knew you were a killer, they wouldn't even give you a license to drive. Yeah. They know you're not a killer, but they still need to teach you how to drive without killing people, because you can't just kill somebody and say, oh, sorry, it was not the plan. No. No, 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 no. Hallelujah. Amen. So you need to know how to detect disloyalty in yourself. You need to see the traces of disloyalty in yourself and work on them. Hallelujah. So we're going to have these schools. Is it a good idea? Do you think this is the, do you think the understanding campaign is a good idea?
Yeah.
Yes. Amen. So we're going to have that. And I believe that God is going to bless us. Hallelujah. And the church will go forward. When we have more understanding, we'll multiply. The Bible says when the word of God increased, the disciples multiplied. So when there's more preaching and more teaching, so you come to church, and then we'll have praise and worship, and then we'll break after praise and worship and have a half hour school, right? And we'll come back, and then we're going to have one of those fancy songs from Eden or from Tori or from DJ, yeah, you know. Then, after that, I can come and preach to you. How's that? Okay? Yeah. So I can come and preach to you. So it's like we're going to have like an appetizer, and then we're going to have a main course. Isn't it? The church is getting more fancy. Isn't it? Right. So that's what's going to happen, and I believe we are going to start from next week. Right? So next week, we're going to register for the schools, okay? And you just choose one and just start, right? When you finish, we'll have a certificate for you, and then you roll on to the next school, and to the next school, and to the next school. And I want to encourage everybody here to go through all of them, even with the new believer school, even though you've been a believer for a long time, because soon you will have a new believer. If you are not the new believer, you will have a new believer. I think you can see where I'm going with this, right? Yeah, because you don't have to go to, you know, one day you yourself will be a mother and you have to know how to make baby food, how to give babies. So it's not like you're eating it yourself, but you have to know how to give it to your own baby. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's important for us to do that, and we're going to start doing that from next week. Say amen.
Amen.
So tell somebody church is getting exciting and we're going to do more for the Lord. Amen. Stand to your feet, everybody, and let us share. Let's pray and close. Amen. You were asking for one more. School of the Word. School of the Word. It's another one. School of the Word. Amen. It's going to be powerful. You're going to love the schools. Amen. You're going to love the schools. And I believe they will really be a blessing to all of us. Bow your heads, everybody, and let us pray. I want you to talk to God about yourself. And say, Lord, I want to have understanding. I want to have understanding. I want to have understanding. I don't just want to have knowledge. I need understanding backing my knowledge in the name of Jesus. To understand is to have roots. Not to understand is not to have root. To understand is to have roots. And so I want you to pray for roots and say, Lord, please give me understanding. Please give me roots. give me roots in my salvation. Give me roots in my walk with you. Give me roots in my walk with you. In the name of Jesus. Makamolombo shatabala babala babala mamara balaba shataria la babaya. Ida la mamo setele mashataria la babaya molo sekebaya. In the name of Jesus, Lord, that we will not fall away, but we will have roots and be truly established in Christ, established in the things of God, established in you, O God. Open our eyes. Open our eyes to that which is good, to that which is true, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Give us understanding. Open the eyes of our understanding and help us to grow, and help us to grow in you, to grow into fruitfulness, oh God, to be fruitful in the name of Jesus. Oh God, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, as we close the service, maybe you're here today, and you know in your heart that you are not born again. Or when we say born again, you don't understand it. You know in your heart that you are not saved. Or that if you died today, you may not go to heaven. Or you are not sure. You can be sure this morning. And so I want to give you that opportunity to give your life to Jesus. If you're here in the service or watching online or listening to the podcast, but however you're connecting with this service, I want to give you that opportunity to give your life to Jesus. So if you want to give your life to Jesus, just raise up your right hand quietly and I'm going to pray with you. Is there anybody here like that? You want to give your life to Jesus? Is there anyone who wants to give your life to Jesus today? I want to pray with you. Okay, why don't we just say this prayer together? Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. Say it with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I believe with my heart that you are Lord. And I confess with my mouth, God raised you from the dead. Come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Let your blood wash me. Say, Lord Jesus, let your blood wash me and make me as a Christian. Make me a child of God. I want to live for you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. Amen. Now, I also want to pray for people who have given their lives to Jesus, but have not been serious with that relationship. You've not been serious with your relationship with God. Every now and then you fall off and have to sort of struggle to find your way back to God. I want to pray that God will help you. God will establish you. And God will make you a solid Christian. A solid Christian. So if you're here like that, just raise up your right hand so I can see it. And I'm going to pray for you too. And if you're watching on the internet, you can also just join in this prayer. You've given your life to Jesus Christ, but you are not serious. You know it yourself that you're not serious with this thing. But you need to be serious with your relationship with God. And so I want to pray for you. Is there anybody here like that today? God bless you. Anybody else? Is there anyone who wants to give your life to Jesus and want to be serious in your walk with him? Okay, why don't we say this prayer together? Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for saving me. Today, I rededicate my life to you. I want to take my relationship with you seriously. I want to be a true Christian. Lord, all things are passed away. All things are become new. Give me a desire to serve you. Give me a desire to walk away from sin. Strengthen me, Lord, against temptations, and help me to live for you. I choose to live for you. Say, devil, you are not my master. I will not live for you. Say, Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my master. I will serve Jesus. I will serve Jesus. Tell him, no matter what you do, I am going to serve Jesus. Say, this life belongs to God. I'm going to serve him with it. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Now, we want to receive our tithes. We want to receive our tithes. Oh, communion. Wow. All right. Why don't we have communion first? Let's receive the communion first. Please keep standing.
Our lives have just begun. In the Spirit we are young, and we'll live forever. Sons of God, hear His holy word. Gather around the table.
Hallelujah. Amen. Now take this with me. Hallelujah. Once we pray over this, it ceases to be what it is in your hand. Do you understand what I'm saying? Until we pray over it, it's just bread and it's just wine. But once we pray over it, this same bread and wine transforms itself, or is transformed by the prayer, into power. Amen. Amen. Into something that can change your life. Into something that can overcome evil spirits and the work of darkness in our lives. Hallelujah. And you need to believe it. You need to connect with it. Hallelujah. You need to believe that this is it. Jesus said, if you eat my body and drink my blood, you will have life. Amen. So anything that is threatening to cut short your life is being addressed this morning by this, in the name of Jesus. So let us pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the bread. And we thank you for the wine. We thank you for your body which was broken for us. It is you who said, when people mess with this thing, they eat and drink damnation unto themselves, because it really is not just bread and wine like they think, that it is power, that this is the power of God, this is the life of God. And today I pray, how we need your power, how we need your life. Today we declare that anyone whose life is passing out before him, O God, is receiving a restoration in the name of Jesus. Every weakness is being strengthened in the name of Jesus. Weaknesses, O God, that keep recurring in our lives, failing in the same places all the time, O God, from today, we announce the end of such chronic failure in the name of Jesus. We shall not be found among the failures of life. Amen. In the name of Jesus. We shall not be found among the depressed. Amen. We shall not be found among the chronically depressed. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We shall not be found among the unhappy, O God. In the name of Jesus. Because you gave us the oil of joy for mourning. And you gave us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And so we address and announce to the spirit of heaviness that you have no place in our lives. You have no place in our homes. You have no place in our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, we refuse to be heavy. In the name of Jesus. The Bible says you were wounded for our transgressions, and you were bruised for our iniquities. The Bible says the chastisement of our peace was upon you. That because you took the chastisement of our peace, we have a right to peace. We have a right to peace. The people of God have a right to peace. And today we declare peace in our homes, peace in our lives, peace in every turbulence in our lives, every disturbing situation and circumstance, every unsettling circumstance, we speak peace to it in the name of Jesus. Because it is ours. And the Bible says, by your stripes we are healed. By your stripes we are healed. So as we stand here today, healing is our portion. So we claim healing. We apply healing. We claim healing. We apply healing. We claim healing. We apply healing in the name of Jesus to our lives. Every sickness is being healed. Every pain is being addressed. Back pain is being addressed. Pain in the joints is being addressed. Headaches are being addressed. Migraines are being addressed in the name of Jesus. Chronic diseases, diseases that have been in the family for years, in the name of Jesus. The communion today will intercept the bloodline in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Our identity is not with our family bloodline, but with the blood of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that was shed for us. The blood that will never lose its power. The blood that washes white as snow. The blood that washes white as snow. The blood that cleanses. The blood that removes stains. Hey, who has heard of such a thing that blood will remove stains? Only the blood of Jesus. Only the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that covers a multitude of sins. The blood of Jesus that covers mistakes, that covers errors, that covers the sins of our youth, mistakes we made as younger people, as children. Lord, thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood that cleanses us from all sin. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. We receive the blessing of forgiveness. We receive the blessing of forgiveness. in the name of Jesus. We nullify the effect of mistakes that have been following us. Mistakes that have been following us. We declare every such mistake a blessing now in the name of Jesus. Things that were supposed to bring us down, mistakes we made and things that were supposed to bring us down, they will now become stepping stones for going up in the name of Jesus. Yes. God is going to turn our mistakes into blessings. We will even be confused and wonder if there were mistakes at all. But yes, they are mistakes. But God's hand is touching them this morning. As we receive communion, a power is coming into your life to come and turn every disadvantage into an advantage in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Take your bread with me and say the body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus Christ. You may eat the bread. Take the wine with me. Say the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. You may drink. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. How I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world. Father, we thank you again for your blessing. Thank you for the blessedness of the communion. Thank you for the closeness it brings. Thank you for the intimate interaction with your power that communion brings. We thank you for the works of darkness that are broken. Thank you that the angel of death will not find our homes in the name of Jesus. Thank you that this wicked and unreasonable man will always miss us. He will always arrive after we have left. In the name of Jesus. Terrorists and other wicked people, oh God, we will never be in the same place as them. In the name of Jesus. People who drive cars into people. Oh God, deliver us from such people. In the name of Jesus. Let the blood of Jesus be a covering over us. Let the angel of the Lord go before God's people. Let the angel of the Lord direct our path. Let the Holy Spirit guide us into places of safety. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your blessing. Deliver us from wicked employee colleagues. Wicked colleagues at work. Wicked colleagues and fellow students, in the name of Jesus, deliver us from people assigned by evil spirits under the influence of devils who seek to destroy lives and destroy God's people, in the name of Jesus. May none of us be victims of such people. May we never be in the same place as such people, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your blessing. In Jesus' name, we give you glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Right. You may be seated.